All right, praise the Lord. We took half your time. You take that.
That's all
take
for as long as you need. That's good.
Now we're going to go Jesus well, and we're going to get out of here. Matthew 21. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, Lord. I pray that you bless this time, give the word you want me to speak in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be very honest. I opened the Bible and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the other day, and it was to Matthew 21. And there's several stories here. And I said, okay, well, I don't know which story you want. So I turned to Mark 11. It's the same story. I read it. I said, okay, I don't know what you want me to do there. So I turned to Luke 19. It's the same story. So I said, okay, I'll go back to Matthew 21. If I don't make any sense, it's because of me. But let's read this. I couldn't figure out what he wanted me to do, so I'm going to do it on three things. So, in the verse 1, it says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage and to the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied in a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them." Now, in the other gospels, it talks about, and they went, and they found just exactly what God said that they was going to find. And they said, that the owners of the asses said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And they said exactly what God told them to sell them. And they said they let them have it. And it's awesome to have that relationship with Jesus, that he could tell us what to do, and we could go do it exactly the way he wants us to do it. I think Paul had that relationship. We know Jesus had that relationship. But how many more people had that relationship that God would say, "Hey, this is what I want you to do. You go do it." Wouldn't that be great? I mean, we all pray all the time, "Lord, what do you want? What's your will for my life?" And then he says, "What?" And we pray and we pray and pray, and he says, "What?" But it'd be awesome that our relationship with Christ was so close and so that he talked to us and we talked to him. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Our relationship is supposed to be that. We heard this morning Pastor Rice talking about a relationship with our wife or a husband. And communication is one of the things that we need to work on. And understanding. Amos says it this way, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Well, we're supposed to walk with God. You know, when I first got saved, well, let's go on about that. We'll get to this later. So, in verse 4 it says, "And this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt with a foal of an ass. And disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them." It says that in verse 4 it talks about, so this might be fulfilled, that Scripture might be fulfilled. You know, just Jesus being born fulfilled so many prophecies. How he's born, everything like that. But prophecy is being fulfilled too when he comes in on a colt. When he comes in to be crucified. Scripture is going to be fulfilled. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 5:18, and I didn't write this down. Sorry. It says that not one jot nor one tittle shall pass away. That I've come to fulfill all of the law. Not just a little bit of it. Not just what I want to, but all the law. And he fulfilled all the law when he went to the cross. And that's what he went for. That's why he came down from heaven to do that. I like verse Luke. In Luke, the story says that, and they went and they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. Meaning that, God, when God sends us, that he knows what's going to happen when he sends us. And all we have to do is be obedient. If we're not going to be obedient to what God tells us to do, then we're not going to fulfill his plan for our life. Verse 12 and 13. It says, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out... Is that right? Yeah. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Another thing we need to do is we need to realize that prayer is the only way we do battle. I've always heard this, God does nothing but to answer to prayer. And we need to make sure that this is a house of prayer. I just love Wednesday nights because we sit around and pray for each other. And we pray for things. And then we get to watch God answer those prayers. It is so awesome. But we also need to make our house, our temple, a house of prayer too. Well, I was trying to figure out what God was trying to tell me here. We need to get all the stuff out of our house that doesn't need to belong there.
Yeah.
We need to get holy. In fact, he says, I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So we need to be holy in our lives so God can use us. So we need to make sure that our house is the house of prayer. I wish I could see. And then we're going to get down to the cursing of the fig tree. In verse 17, it says, let them... And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany. He lodged there. Now in the morning as he returned to the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in a way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when his disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, and you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, I've been here before, but I kind of went back on some things and did some things. In James 5:16, he says, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, like God was trying to tell me that we need to get all of our stuff out of our house that doesn't belong there. We need to get righteous. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we need to get right with God. In 1 John 3:22, and it says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight, not the things that are pleasing in our sight. But the things that are pleasing in his sight, and we keep his commandments, that we do what God tells us to do. You know, there's a lot of things in this book that says that we should do this and we shouldn't do that. And we kind of pick and choose what we like. But God wants us to do the things that he wants us to do. You know, there's a lot of times that we can see somebody else's sin, but our pet sin, they're okay because God loves us. But no, we need to get all the sin out of our life. Jesus died on the cross for the littlest sin there was, because that was sin. First John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. I'm so glad that he hears me when I pray. I'm so glad when I say, God, I need something, and he showed me what I need. And, you know, in Matthew 7, everybody knows this, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door will be open unto you. We all know all these sayings, but what happens if we're serving God, we're righteous, we're praying real hard, and things don't happen the way we want to? You know, I remember hearing Lester Roloff say, you know, I've always said that if you ask anything in God's name, that he'll give it to you. And he said, and then I realized that Jesus prayed for something and God didn't give it to him. And that's in Luke 22, verse 42. It says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know, there's times, and he prayed that prayer three times, and God didn't take that cup away from him. There's another story in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 12:8-9, where somebody else prayed three times that something be taken away from him. And that was Paul. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said no to Paul. You know, there's a lot of times when we don't understand that maybe we're doing right, we're living right, we're trying to be obedient to God, and everything's going the way we planned it, and all of a sudden something comes up that we don't understand. And we're praying to God, please take this from me. I don't know what's going on, but please take this from me. And he says, no, I'm not going to take it from you. So we don't understand all these things. All I know is if God says it, it's going to happen. Just like if he said it in this book, it's going to happen. We can say it's not going to happen, we can go on with things, but if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Guess what? One day, this world is going to come to an end. I know that because the book says that, not because I listen to Fox News or I listen to somebody that's wrote a book. I read it in this book, the only true book. So we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ that when he tells us to go do something, we can do it. That we don't have to question him. Isn't it strange that when he said, go into the village and get me an ass and a colt, he goes, oh no, my Lord, you know, the disciples could have went in there and said, you know, my Lord's going to ride a mule. He's pretty tall. I don't want his legs dragging the ground. I'm going to get him a nice mule. They didn't do that. They had been with him long enough to understand when he told them to go do something, they did it. You know, that's exactly how Abraham was. When God told Abraham to take his son and go take him to the mountain and sacrifice him, he didn't argue with him. He had been walking with God so long that he didn't question God anymore. That everything that God told him was going to happen, happened already. So he said, you know what, God told me to do this, I have to do it. I don't understand it, I don't like it, but I have to do it. That's how we need to be in our Christian walk, that whatever God tells us to do, that we do it. We don't question it, we just do it. Because, you see, he asked Saul to do something one time, and King Saul said, all right. And then King Saul did it a little bit different. He lost his kingdom. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to lose the kingdom. I don't want to lose anything that God has for me. I'm greedy. I want everything that God has. I want every blessing there is. But that doesn't mean I do everything right. We say and we want to do everything right, but sometimes we don't. You know, Moses, it says, the Bible says that Moses talked to God as friend, like a friend, face to face. And we need to have that relationship with Jesus, that we're talking to him as friend, as face to face. I like it when I sit down and ask God, hey, I need something. I open up the Bible and there it is. You know, I don't hear any audible words, but I can read exactly what he's saying. When I know y'all get sick and tired of hearing this, but when I asked him what I need to do and he told me to sit down, I have read that passage I don't know how many times, but the word sit down just jumped out at me. When he told me to shut up, those words just jumped out at me. He says, answer not a word. Don't worry about what anybody else is saying. Just be quiet and listen to me. And I never will forget when Lester Roloff used to say this all the time. He said, you know, when I listen to men, I get confused. But when I listen to God, I know exactly what I need to do. And that's what we need to start understanding, is we need to start listening to God and do what God wants us to do. And to do that, we have to build a relationship with him. I don't know about y'all, but I don't do this very often. When I get through praying, I don't stop and listen to see what God has to say. That meditating on God's Word that we talked about last week, I don't meditate too much. I don't sit there and ponder unless I'm trying to get a message or a devo together. Then I might ponder what he's trying to say to me in this text. But what is God telling me day to day? What does God want me to know today? You see, when me and Debbie were dating, I had to talk to her all the time. I still have to talk to her all the time if I want everything to go right. But let me not talk to her for a week and see what's happening. Well, my clothes are going to be out on the street, or I don't know where they're going to be. They ain't going to be in the bedroom, I know that. Because I haven't talked to her for a week, so she's going to be mad at me. How are we with God? Do we talk to Him every day? You know, I get kind of confused about what I've said before, but you know, talking about the time that I asked God about what His favorite Elvis gospel song was, and He told me how great Thou art. You know, I had a great relationship with Him. And then I quit my job and I go over to the village and I do what I'm supposed to be doing, I think, for Him, and I get busy. And I stop asking God what things that I need to know about Him, and I just started telling Him what things that I needed Him to do. And man, I got prayer lists and I got prayer lists. Lord, this is where I used to get up every morning. Lord, this is my prayer list. This is what I want You to do. And help me out with things to do today. And I'll come and talk to you later on and see how you did. You see, that's still making me Lord of my life. And that's not how Paul got up every day. Paul got up and said, for the minute he got saved and the day he died, Lord, what do You want me to do today? Wouldn't it be great if our relationship with Him was so strong that He could say, go into the other village against you, and straightway you should find an ass tied and a colt with her and loose them and bring them into me. Okay, that's pretty simple. I could do that. I could take orders. And I could do that. I like the other time when he says that, you know, go into town, you're going to meet somebody with a pitcher of water. You follow that person, you go into that person's house, and you ask the goodman of the house, hey, the Lord needs this house to have do the supper, the Lord's supper. I want that kind of relationship with Jesus Christ where He could tell me something to do and I could go do it and don't have to worry about anything else. How do I do that? Well, first of all, you got to talk to Him. Second of all, you got to listen to Him. More than anything else, first of all, you got to be saved.
Amen.
If you're not saved, you can talk to God all you want to. I heard it this way before. The only prayer that God wants to hear from an unsaved person is the sinner's prayer. You know, there's plenty of times in my life, looking back before I got saved, that I might have prayed to God for something. I remember as a little kid, I had a dog that was sick or some animal. I had all kinds of animals growing up, and I prayed that God would save that animal. You know, there's a lot of times when somebody gets in a bad situation that the first thing they do is start praying to God. But after that situation's gone, they forget who God is because they never knew Him. I talked to you about my two guys that I got to visit with the last couple of weeks, and it was an awesome thing. And I remember each and every one of their stories. I could go on and on about them, but I got a picture of me with my arms around both of them. And man, if them's the only two people that I ever take to heaven, then it was worth everything I've ever done. It's awesome. And one of them got in a little altercation after I told y'all about going up there and everything. And I said, man, it's my fault. I might have bragged on you at church. And now Satan's kicked a little trash can in front of you. Just step over it. Don't worry about it. You know, Satan would like to get us off track and get us not to do what God wants us to do. But if we want our prayers answered, then we have to be righteous. We have to get all that stuff in our lives that needs to be out. If we're going to get our prayers answered, then we're going to have to keep His commandments. We're going to have to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. One of my favorite verses is John 8:29 says, For I always do the things that please Him. That's what Jesus was talking about God. For I always do the things that please Him. You know what? Jesus did everything to please God. His whole life, His whole ministry down here was doing what God wanted Him to do, to finish God's work. We make it to where we want to finish our work, that we want to do what we want to do. And we want God to help us with that endeavor. And not that that's wrong, but as long as what we're doing is what God wants us to do. In First John 5:14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." You know, there's a lot of times that we pray and we don't get our prayers answered. We don't know what's wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with God, but what we're asking is not God's will. What we're asking is going to hurt us and not help us. You know, when I first got saved, I read this, that you could ask anything in my name and I'll give it to you. All you got to do is believe. And I said, oh, whoo. When I was a kid, I wanted a magic wand for Christmas. I mean, that's what I wanted, because I wanted to wave my magic wand and everything happened. You know, Felix the cat had a bag of tricks. I wanted a magic wand. I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. Needless to say, I never did get my magic wand until I got saved and started reading this. And I said, man, I got my magic wand. All I got to do is I got to read my Bible. I got to come to church. I got to pray. I got to tithe. Ask anything in His name, He'll give it to me. That's my magic wand. And then I get in the Bible and I read this other thing that says He will give you desires of your heart. Woo! This is sounding great. But what that really means is He's going to give you His desires in your heart.
Amen.
And, you know, I never once in my life said, you know what? I think I want to quit my job and go to work for a home for troubled teens. I never wanted that. You know, after I got saved and started listening to Lester Roloff, you know, he planted that seed in my heart. And then I quit my job, and I come up to New York, and all of a sudden I'm at a home for troubled teens. You know, God did that. Not me. That wasn't my desire. My desire was to learn everything about the bowling alley business, start my own company, and make the big money. That's what I wanted to do. My first job was in 1987... 89, was a job in Greensboro, North Carolina. It was a 52-liner. It was all used equipment. My boss at the time, when he drove up on the job, he got a check for $365,000. When all the lanes were laid down, he got another check for $365,000. And when he got everything done and walked off, he got another check for $365,000. I don't know about y'all, but that adds up to a little over $1 million. That was just one job. I was going, you know what? Now, that wasn't all profit, but I would like to make $1 million on one job, wouldn't you? So I was making good money, but, you know, I said, you know what? God wants me to prosper. He wants me, you know, I started reading all these things. And so I'm going to start my own company. I want to learn everything about it. And God says, Tracy, that's not why I saved you. So we got to understand that what we pray for, maybe not what God wants us to do. So we don't need to get mad at God for not giving us what we pray for. You know, I'm still waiting for my Tiger Stripe Bentley. But I really don't want it anymore. And even if He gave it to me, you know, I might drive it around for a little bit, but I'd probably give it away. Because, you know, a Tiger Stripe Bentley is not what I really want. I want that relationship with God where He's pleased with me. I want that relationship with God where I can call upon Him and He can tell me what to do. That means more than any money in the world or anything in the world. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not praying for a brand new Ford truck. But that brand new Ford truck is not going to make me happy. It will make me happy. But if I don't get it, I'm not going to be mad at God. We need to watch what we pray for. And I don't see Jesus ever praying for too many things other than to help other people. He prayed out loud when he raised Lazarus, and he did that because of the people around him, because he wanted the people around him who to know that God could raise people from the dead. It's to show God's glory. And sometimes we get so fixated on what we want and what's going to glorify us sometimes that we forget about God. But I want to tell you something. If you forget about God and you don't pray like you're supposed to, you might find that your clothes are out on the porch one time. I don't want to make God mad at me, because all he has to do is this, and Tracy's gone. I want God to be pleased with my life. I want him to be able to, every time that I say, God, I need something, I open up the book that it's there. And I also need to know that sometimes I pray for stuff that I don't need. Or that maybe, you know, I don't understand that Paul was a great guy and he was a great servant of God. And sometimes you may look at somebody that's been serving God a long time, and we was at the pastor's fellowship and one of the pastors couldn't raise one of his arms. Why would God do something to a servant of God? Well, maybe he's trying to teach him something. I don't know. Maybe he was telling Paul, you know what, Paul, you don't need that. What you need is me. You know what? He's trying to teach and tell each and every one of us that what we really need is him. So I don't know about what all he was trying to get a hold of me on, because there's so many things that I could preach on just one subject. But I think what he was trying to tell me was, you know what, Trace, you need to obey me and just do what I tell you to do. I need you to get all the stuff in your life that doesn't need to be out, be there out. I need you to pray more often. And I need you to pray that with faith believing. But I also need you to pray for things that are my will, not yours. I need you to pray for things that I need you to be affectionate and fervent prayer, but I need you to be righteous so that your prayers are answered. I need you to keep my commandments. And I want you to do the things that are pleasing in my sight all the time. And I want you to know that when you pray that you have confidence that I hear you. Lord, I know that He hears me. He's answered so many of my prayers that I know He hears me. And I want you to pray in my will, not yours. Can two walk together except they be agreed? We need to agree with God on everything, not just on some things. And I'm so thankful for this book. I'm so thankful, number one, that my cousin, when he gave me the book, gave me a Bible, he gave me a King James Version Bible. That I didn't get a book like the NIV, like most people carry around. That I got the true Word of God. I'm so thankful that when I open up this book, that he speaks to me. And I'm so thankful when I pray that he hears me. I'm so thankful for this church, that the praying church, that we pray for each other. And I'm so thankful that I could sit around and look at this room and see what God's answered already since the short time I've been here. Just by listening to the prayers at this table over here on Wednesday night. To listen to Pastor's prayer on Tuesday morning. And seeing the prayers that are answered through that. It's awesome. And I know that God wants a better relationship with each and every one of us. In fact, that's why He sent His Son to die on the cross over our sins. That's why the veil was ripped in two when He was on the cross, so that we could come to Him, that we could come to Him boldly, and that we could speak to Him, friend, as a friend face to face. I had a lot of best friends growing up, and I could tell you about them all day long. And if one of them walked through the door, you wouldn't know him. I'm afraid that a lot of people hear about Jesus all the time, but if he walked through the door, nobody would know him. Paul would say it this, I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to fellowship with him. When I was growing up, I wasn't saved or anything, but my favorite song when I went to church as a little boy was Blessed Assurance. After I got saved, it turned into In the Garden. I want him to walk with me and talk with me along the way. I almost did this last year, but I almost went to the Mennonite to bought the farm out there, and I said, I got to ask you a strange thing. I want to walk up on that hill and talk to God, because that was my garden up there. I want to tell you something. You don't need a hill to walk and talk with God. God's wherever you are if you're saved. And you can talk to Him anytime you want. Some of the best prayers I've ever prayed and then God answered was just me talking to God when I was walking. And sometimes, my wife doesn't believe this, but I like walking the dogs. It takes me a while to do it, but I do like walking the dogs because I get out there and I talk. Yeah. I'm not talking to the dogs, I'm talking to God. And you know what? I'm not talking out loud because everybody around here would think that I was crazy. Although sometimes I do. But I'm so thankful when He tells me something. It's so awesome to know that the God that spoke this world into existence loves me enough to talk to me. And loves me enough to say, this is the way to go. Walk you in it. So I hope you got something out of this. I'm so thankful that that He wants a relationship with us. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, I thank You so much for salvation. And Lord, I pray that You would show us the things that we need to change in our life. Lord, if we live to be 110 years old, there's still stuff that we need to be getting out. So I pray, Lord, that You would speak to us when we pray to You, that You would answer us. And Lord, I pray that You would hear and answer our prayers, Lord, that You not just hear us, but You answer us. Lord, give us a great night home. Be with everybody. Keep them safe. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Search me, O God. No, I couldn't find that one. Softly and tenderly. 280 in our songbook. God's tugged on your heart. Use our invitation time to talk to Him. Softly and tender.